This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
Welcome to The Gardening Show with Bob Harris. I'm Ann Holliday with Bob. Bob, welcome.
Well, good morning, Ann.
So if you have a question for Bob, you can give us a call at 368-9372. That's 368-WESB. Or you can send us an email at garden@wesb.com. And we will be on Facebook Live eventually, too, and you can send us a message there. But first of all, Bob, we have some emails. And,
yes.
You've already read those, so
yep.
Why don't you...
Okay, I'll start with the first one from Terry. She was shown a long time ago by a farmer's wife when a tomato plant starts putting out too many suckers with no flowers on them. The plant is getting very tall. To cut that all down some, do you do that, was her question. And after doing that, the plant starts to produce fruit. It seems to help, and the fruits take off and start growing better. Is that true?
Yeah, that is true. But I go even one step further. When it's starting to put out those suckers, and a sucker is a sprout that is between the trunk and another branch. It'll come right out of the apex of there, right between the two. And so quite often, those, given enough time, they will produce fruit. But in our area, they'll never have enough time to ripen. And also, the plant will just start producing too many fruit, and it'll start to get overloaded and may bend over, break. So it's a good idea to clip off the suckers. When you start that, usually you leave a couple suckers above the first set of flowers and a couple suckers below the first set of flowers on the plant. Then any more suckers that the plant starts to produce, just trim them off as soon as you see them. And how you do that is if you get them when they're real small yet, 2 to 3 inches long, all you do is bend them and they should snap right off. Now, if you don't, then just take a pruner or a pair of scissors and clip them off. That'll put strength back into the remaining part of the plant so it can produce bigger and better fruit and give it all a chance to ripen. Otherwise, you know, a tomato plant can just keep growing some tomato plants. There's determinate ones and indeterminate. And the indeterminate ones will want to grow like crazy all the way up until a frost kills them. So they can get so doggum many leaves that you don't get proper pollination. You don't get enough sunshine in there. All the nutrients are going towards the new growth rather than the fruit of the tomato, which you want it to go there so you develop nice, big and ripe and flavorful fruit that way.
Tasty tomatoes are the best.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. You know, and it's funny. They always say nothing tastes better than a homegrown tomato, which is true because there are more nutrients in a homegrown one than there are the store-bought ones for many reasons. Another reason is because of the sun has warmed it. Anything warm tastes a little bit better except ice cream. That always tastes better when it's cold. But everything else tastes better when it's warmed by the sun.
I never even thought of that. But yes, you are right about that. And don't tomatoes have a lot of vitamin C in them?
Yeah, they sure do. They have so many vitamins and minerals, it's unbelievable.
Okay.
The homegrown ones.
All right. So that's...
Oh, yeah.
Let's go to our next
one
email
was,
question.
She has a 30-year-old short-needled evergreen bush. But what I believe were Japanese beetles last year, but it still looks bad now. You can see a hole on the side of the shrub with some brown dead branches. Will the dead brown spread,
Will it recover on its own, or should I help it? When you, first of all, when I hear short needled evergreen, we got even a picture here. Oops. Just a second here. I'm looking it over. Okay. That's not a pine. It looks like a yew to me. So
it's cool that you can send pictures
at garden@wesb.com.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing the brown and dead branches. So what you probably, it probably was not due to the Japanese beetles, probably due to something else like an insect infestation. And so here's a hint what you do. Take a white piece of paper, put it underneath the branches there, especially in the area where it's bad. Hold that white piece of paper under there and give those branches above the white paper a good hard tapping. That will dislodge a lot of the insects onto the white paper because many of these insects that harm our plants are so small that you can't see them looking on the shrub. So they'll land on the white piece of paper and slowly pull it out where you can view it. Now, don't breathe on it because you'll blow a lot of the insects away. And take a look, and if you see anything moving around, those dust particles moving around on that white piece of paper, you have an insect there. And chances are with that you, it's going to be spider mites, what we call spider mites. But they're going to be very, very small, just like a dot at the end of a sentence, a period. They're going to be about that size. So if they're moving around, you have a insect problem. Now, if you only see less than a half a dozen or less, that's really no big deal. Just a good blast from the garden hose is going to dislodge most of them, and they won't have enough energy to make it back up there to start harming your plant again. But I recommend that anyhow from time to time when you're out there watering. Give all your evergreens and plants, you know, a good blast from the water hose. Dislodges a lot of insects so they can't build up populations. If you have more than six of them on there, say you have a couple dozen, then you may have a bigger problem. I would still do the blast with the garden hose to lower that population and watch the plant closely. And if it starts to recover within a few weeks, then you should be okay. But once in a while, continue to do that. If not, there are some chemical sprays you can put on. Always read all the directions and be careful how you do it. And you can get rid of them that way. Or even maybe better yet, a good blast of soapy water. And in that case, we're going to use Dawn liquid soap without phosphorus in it. And that's going to smother those insects and take care of them. Now, it all takes a few weeks to take effect and start helping the plant out. So don't be surprised, you know, if the plant still looks rough after a week or two. It may take a few weeks, especially you. It's going to go through a few growth spurts, going to have a good growth spurt in the spring, whenever it comes. And then it's going to have another growth spurt just before July 4th. So if it doesn't show those nice growth spurts, then you still have that insect problem, and you may want to treat it again one way or the other, whether it be the blast from the hose, the soapy water, or a chemical spray.
Okay.
Sometimes even just taking your leaf rake and combing the plant, vigorously combing it, can dislodge a lot of those insects. And then they just run out of energy and can't make it back home.
Okay. Well, Rich, thanks for sending us an email. That's awesome.
Yeah, and that is a good question.
And if you have a question for Bob, you can send us an email at garden@wesb.com. And you can even send pictures like Rich did, because that helps Bob a lot when he's trying to figure out what your problem is.
Yes, sure does.
And you can also give us a call at 368-9372, 368-WESB, if you want to do it the old-fashioned way. But email is so much better because you have pictures.
It is, yeah.
But still, Bob likes to talk to people, too. And that way he can follow up on your questions.
Yes.
So, anyway.
Yeah, really appreciate those questions. Anyway, I'm surprised I didn't. The first question was, you know, what's going to happen to my plants now that it froze?
Right.
And so I want to explain that a little bit. Most of our trees have been around for around 40 to 50 million years. So they've been through this thousands of times, and they have developed a defense against it. And so most of our trees, even if they get frosted or frozen leaves that are destroyed, they all have the capability of re-leafing. Some of the ones that fascinate me, the oak tree can do it up to four times in 1 year. So it can be, the leaves can be frozen off the first time. Then the next time the gypsy moths can eat them all off. It can still re-leaf. and that's going to go for just about every tree around here. As long as it's in good health and in the right spot that you've planted it and so on. Now, if it's been weakened by other things, it may not be able to leaf back out. But as long as it's healthy and you've cared for it, watered it when it's there's no rain in sight, and that means when I say no rain, you know, after a week, not during a week. If it hasn't rained for over a week, then should water it to keep it healthy. They can re-leaf and they'll be fine.
But around here, it's kind of, we don't usually go longer than a week without a little bit of rain.
Yeah, we don't usually. Yes, you're right. And as a gardener, you should keep close track of the weather. That's real important to you, what the weather does. The other one, you know, perennials, most of those, even if they've come up and they're leafing out, the foliage gets frozen and killed off, they can still re-leaf also. Now, they may not be quite as spectacular as they were the year before, but they're still going to be fine, and they'll leaf out and start gathering all that sun energy and strengthen back up, and they'll be fine.
Okay.
Your lawn, of course, that can withstand any kind of freeze that there is.
Lawns are tough.
Yeah.
Mighty oaks are tough.
Mighty oaks are tough, yes. And like I said, one more time, like the oak and the maple and a lot of the trees, they have the ability to re-leaf after they've lost a whole set of leaves.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, let's take a little break and hear from our friends at Worth W. Smith, and we'll be right back. And I bet you're going to talk about Mother's Day.
I am.
Okay.
Give your lawn a healthy head start with a visit to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. You'll find varieties of grass seeds for every use, plus 10-10-10 fertilizers, mulches, and limes. And don't forget the seed spreaders, handheld sizes for the small jobs, and push models for the bigger ones. You'll also find a nice selection of garden seeds, patio blocks, and railroad ties. Ready for a new mower? See Worth Smith for a great deal on a new Toro mower. If you need it for spring, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
Welcome back to The Gardening Show with Master Gardener Bob Harris. And Bob, Mother's Day is tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah, so I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. We really appreciate you guys a lot. But a lot of us guys are going to be getting our mothers a little gift for Mother's Day. So I want to give you a few hints on how to care for those Mother Day plants. And that could be hanging baskets or potted plants or even a new tree or shrub. So I'll start with the flowering annuals that you'll get in the hanging basket and containers, pots and boxes and whatever container they may be in. Watch the watering. Watch it real close. First of all, I guess watch the weather. Watch the weather.
If it's supposed to be sunny tomorrow.
Supposed to be, yeah. And that's a good time to put the plan out. Anytime the temperature is above freezing. And I mean, maybe like 36, or getting close to 40 and up.
Okay.
Then you can put the plan out. If it's going to get below that, I would suggest highly that you bring the plant indoors so it's protected. There are some places, especially a low spot, that can freeze before the rest of the neighborhood or even your own yard. So if it's going to get below 40, bring it in so it's protected for the night. Once it warms up over 40, put it back out in that sun. It needs all the sun it can get, so bring it back out then. But keep up on that. That's pretty important. You're not going to have to do it for very long. This weather is going to go away. We're going to have good weather real soon. And watch the watering. Sometimes your potted plants or hanging baskets are getting rain in them. So you don't water if Mother Nature watered. The number one problem with most plants is people overwater them because they care so much for them. And so try to be careful with that. Now, there's several ways you can do it, by sticking your finger in the soil, see if it's damp. And you got to stick it down in more than just a little quarter inch. You got to stick it down in there, you know, an inch, maybe 2 inches. That's one way. Another way is to just feel the weight of the plant. When you first got it, chances are it was probably wet. So remember that weight. And you'll get used to this over time. And if it feels that heavy still, then it probably doesn't need watering. If it feels lighter, though, it probably does need some watering. And so you can water it then. And sometimes you don't even have to lift the plant. You can just kind of tip it a little bit. You can tell, especially in those bigger pots where you can't lift it. Another way is just looking at the soil. And if the soil looks like black coffee, then it's probably wet. But if it looks like coffee with cream, then it's probably dry, and then you should water it. But watering is so important. That's probably the number one thing you're going to do for any plant, is take care of its watering needs.
I'll tell you, Bob, that coffee with cream or black coffee, that is what I go by now with most of my plants. I'm like, I want to water them because I know I haven't watered them in a long time. But I'm doing cactus and succulents, so I know that I don't have to water them.
Yeah.
But still, I want to. But and as long as we're talking about watering, and you said that like overwatering is a problem, that geranium you gave me a couple of years ago, I kind of have been forgetting about it.
Uh-huh.
Didn't water it for probably 2-3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And then I watered it, and man, it just kind of blossomed and grew. It seems like it grew 6 inches.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I should take a picture of it and bring it in because it's just beautiful.
Oh, great. All right.
Anyway, back to watering.
So watering is probably one of the most important things you're going to be doing for your plant, the Mother's Day plant, and any plant you buy after that, too. And protecting them from low temperatures. That's going to be key, too, for a week or two here. But also, you don't want to forget fertilizer. Most of these plants that we're going to get for Mother's Day are annuals. And so they grow like crazy and flower like crazy to complete their whole life cycle in a short period of time. So they're always hungry. So a good rule of thumb is about every third watering should be with fertilizer.
Okay.
Don't think you have to fertilize it every time. You can. But if you're going to fertilize it every time, use the fertilizer at half or a little less than half strength. Otherwise, just mix it up normally and do it about every third watering. And you'll keep the plant growing well and producing lots of flowers. Now, some things that can affect the fertilizer is a lot of rain. Most of the fertilizer we're going to use in our hanging baskets and potted plants is the water-soluble one, we call it. That's the blue or the green crystals. We put that spoonful in our watering can and mix it up so it dissolves. Now, that's water-soluble. So if we get a good soaking rain, it washes most of that fertilizer out of the pot. so that after the rains are done, you may want to consider refertilizing again, because most of it we had applied got washed away. So we're protecting from the temperatures. We're watching that watering, because most plants fail from overwatering. And we've done a little bit of fertilizing, so that we've taken care of that plant real well. That covers most of the things we want to do for that. Now, if you got a new tree or a shrub for Mother's Day, now there's a lot of controversy there, but and there's more than one way to take care of a plant. Whatever works for you, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean my way's the only way. But let's say you're going to give your mother a tree for Mother's Day. You're going to want to plant it in the area that it should be. If it's a sun-loving tree, of course, plant it in a sunny spot. If it's a shade-loving tree, of course, plant it in the shade. If it is a tree that likes good drainage, make sure that it is in a spot that drains well. Sometimes we have to dig a little hole, maybe a shovel deep, and let it set overnight. If that hole fills up with water or gets any water at all, that's not a good drainage spot. If there's no water in it the next day, then probably is a good spot for a tree that likes good drainage. Another way to do it is if it hasn't rained for a while and you dig that hole, take your garden hose and fill that hole up. And the next day, if all that water's gone, you're good to go. That's okay. A good spot. If that water's still laying in there, probably the drainage is not good. Now, if you really want to plant it in that spot with poor drainage, we're going to make a mound above the ground. And depending on the size of the tree, most trees, you know, make that mound only about 6 inches tall. And then you can plant that partially in the native ground, partially in that mound. Uh-huh. So the plant is high above. That gives you better drainage. A slope on that mound always sheds the water away, so that tree's getting real good drainage that way. And then you can be successful that way. Don't be afraid to plant a tree in a wet spot. As long as you build a sufficient mound that will shed that water, you'll be fine.
Okay.
And then the controversy starts, whether to stake it or not. I am a hot, real big believer in staking a tree. I know a lot of people don't like to. They say, no, you shouldn't stake a tree anymore. I believe in it. I've been practicing it for 50 years. A lot of my friends in the gardening industry have been practicing it for that long, too.
Before you go on, what's the rationale for not staking?
The rationale for not staking it is it supposedly lets the roots toughen up quicker.
Oh, okay. Huh.
Now, usually when you're planting a tree, you're planting it in a site that nature didn't mean it to be. It's not the forest that you're planting a tree. It's your yard. That's unnatural for that tree. So it needs a little extra help. And those first roots, when they come out, they're finer than the hair on your head. So if a little breeze comes along and moves the top a little bit, it's moving the bottom too. So as those tiny hairs start to grow out through the soil and the top moves, it breaks those tiny hair roots off. So it doesn't really get a chance. So I'm a firm believer in staking that tree, so it can start to develop new hair roots. And you only stake it for 1 year. Then you can remove the stakes. You never need them again. But staking it that first year lets those tiny hair roots come out of that root ball and start to develop in the soil. And as the season goes through, they'll develop and grab a hold of soil. That's what roots are for, is to anchor the plant, grab a hold of as much soil as they possibly can so they can withstand wind. So again, that's when you first plant them, they don't have that, right, that ability to grab a hold of soil yet. So I believe in the staking. So I won't go on and on about that, but that's my belief. Now, shrubs, you usually don't have to stake them. They're nice and low to the ground. They don't rock around in the wind. But when you do plant them, after you've backfilled, walk around it to kind of press all that soil in so it does firm it up all the way around that plant. Then you can water it in well, and the plant shouldn't rock back and forth in a wind. I have seen some shrubs where if you can buy a big shrub, where sometimes a shrub 6-8 foot tall maybe that you've just planted, that may need to be staked, especially if it's in a spot that catches a lot of wind and can rock around back and forth. But most of them, no, you don't need to stake. They should be fine on their own, and those hair roots will be able to search out and start anchoring the plant and looking for new food and water.
Okay. All right.
So that's my belief. You do what you think is right, but I'm going to continue to stake those brand new trees because it's an investment.
Oh, for sure.
I go out and buy a tree for $100. I'm not going to let nature decide whether it's going to survive or not. I'm going to try to help her a little bit.
Well, yeah.
So I stake it for a year. Then after that year, I remove the stakes and it's on its own and it should be fine.
Okay. Oh, go ahead. No.
Another little helpful hint, though, about a new tree or shrub. I always like to plant what I call, and I think I talked about it last week, but it needs to be talked about again, a little indicator mm-hmm. plant around the base. Now, I like to use an impatient, whether it be sunny impatient or the shady impatience, something that I know that when the soil is dry, it's going to wilt. Not die, but wilt. So as I plant these little plants, and you don't only have to do one or two. You don't have to do a circle all the way around the tree. It might look pretty nice, though. they're going to give you an indication of when they wilt, you know that probably the tree needs water too. If they're not wilting, then probably the tree doesn't need water too. So that way, it stops you from overwatering the tree.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people think that you plant an annual, it needs watered every day. No, not in Bradford. Not in Bradford. We have cool soil, so when it does rain, it gets wet in our soil and stays wet for a long period of time. Now, if you do have, and there probably is some place in Bradford that has sandy, rocky soil, and it may dry out fast. But most of us are clay-based soil, and once it gets wet and our soil stays cool, it stays wet for a long period of time.
Okay.
So be careful with the watering again.
All right. And you were talking about stakes. I have, go back to the very beginning when we were talking about tomato plants.
Yeah.
Is that the same reason you stake tomato plants is because of the roots, or is that something different?
That's something different, yeah. Most tomato plants do need some staking because they want to just keep growing and growing and producing fruit. And that fruit gets very heavy, and it will tend to bend them over and break branches. And then, of course, then the fruiting and developing stops on that branch. Or the fruit starts to touch the ground. And once it touches the ground, well, then it's real susceptible to disease and little mice eating it and slugs eating it. So it's a good idea to stake your tomatoes to keep them off the ground.
Okay.
Stake or cage or wire. There's a lot of different ways to do it.
All right.
But remembering, when you do cage your tomato plant, make sure it's caged in a way that you can still get your hand in there to clip off those suckers when there's too many, or to be able to go in there and pick a fruit and get it out easily. So don't use like chicken wire, because it'd be hard for you to get in there and work on the plant.
Okay. All right. That makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
I wouldn't have even thought of that. So we are unbelievably enough out of time today on The Gardening Show. But if you have a question during the week, you can send us an email at garden@wesb.com and Bob will get right to that. Or you can leave us a message on Facebook. You can do anything. Call me during the week and I'll give the message to Bob on Saturday. But like I said, garden@wesb.com. You can even send pictures if you need to, which would be really, really great. So Bob, we'll see you next. Oh, one more thing.
Don't be afraid to buy that Mother's Day plant. It's just going to need a protection for just a little while. That's all.
That's right. It's not going to be like this forever. And there are plenty of places open
Yes.
That you can buy Mother's Day plants. So you bet. You haven't done it, get out there and buy one, but wear a mask.